views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
It's great that you are joining us today. We are excited to talk about the second half of the practice of living awareness. We are on the second half. The first half of the practice is really to establish peaceful abiding. It is created, all the tools that we've used thus far are really there to help create a certain stillness in the mind, tools to help you calm and steady your emotions, put you at ease in your body so you can actually sit in meditation. And the second half is insight. It is to create an illumined mind. It's where the practice gets juicy, as far as I'm concerned. The first half is delightful indeed, but the second half just really opens our mind to inspiration, to abstract thought, to the creative mind. And the step this week is actually mind itself. So we're so excited this week to have Dinah Lawson with us.
Yeah, and Dinah, you know, she teaches meditation and she's run a center for healing and meditation called the Hayloft in the United Kingdom for 19 years, which is something we're very impressed and respectful of. And she's also a founding member and coordinator of the International Network for Energy Healing.
Yes, that is otherwise known as the INEH, and they practice a modality of healing, energy healing, called esoteric healing. And like no other group that I know of, or no other modality of energy healing that I know of, really takes meditation to heart in the way that esoteric healers really use meditation as a tool, as a training. It's integral to their practice. And so we're so excited to have Dinah on to talk a little bit about meditation and the mind. Welcome, Dinah.
Thank you very much. I'm very flattered that you should have asked me.
Well, you know, we are so excited to hear a bit about the history of the INEH, and Spirit Fire actually hosted the conference for the INEH a couple years ago. We had people from all over the world at the center, and we were sorry that you couldn't be here, Dinah, but you were here obviously in spirit. Your mind, or your name was here, your energy was here the whole time during that conference. And so, Dinah, the INEH has been around for many years. It was coming into formation in the 70s. And I find that time period so interesting, the 60s and 70s, and this idea of a new age dawning. I think of that song, "This is the Dawning of the Age of Aquarius," in the movie Hair. I remember I was a kid just being so inspired by these hippies in Central Park in the movie Hair. And really, that age seems to be so much about revolution, about freedom. We saw the new age really sort of forming around civil rights, around women's rights, around gay rights. And so it was this sort of, if we're going to look at it in terms of the Aquarian age, I would say it's about equality. It's about bringing everybody to the table and seeing that we're all one. So for the listeners, they might think, well, what is this Aquarian age? So the Aquarian age is basically every 2,500 years, so the story goes in this belief system, to every 2,500 years, we move into a new age under an astrological sign. We've moved from the Piscean age, and we're moving into the Aquarian age. We're in the dawning of this new age. And so I'm curious, Dinah, I feel like the new age was almost novel. It was like almost boutique in the 70s. Remember, there were new age bookstores, and it was this new age movement. And now it seems to be totally integrated into our culture in every way. And I know you've been with Esoteric Healing for a long time. You've been running a meditation center for the last two decades. I'm curious the ways in which you've seen these concepts of the new age and group consciousness integrate into today's modern age.
I think the most important thing was that you mentioned the word freedom. It was freedom of mind. We were stuck, and something or series of things gradually beginning to shift people's minds, to open their minds to other possibilities, and to look and suddenly realize that certain things were really out of sync and unfair and unbalanced. And, well, are there other ways of doing things? I think that was the big question. And a lot of us in this country step back from the conventional way of thinking, particularly to do with religion and with spirituality. A lot of groups started up connected with spirituality. It seems as if there was this publicity given in the 60s, now in the 70s it began to form into different groups. My own group, I suppose you could say that for us and our particular approach, it did start in the 60s, in that the man who was my teacher's teacher, a man called Rex Ryant, he gained some insight into how you could work in healing with the energy body. And then he taught his small group. He himself was a radar scientist during the last war. And in a way, you could almost say, well, you could say that radar is about energy. And he had been damaged in the First World War. His lungs had been very badly damaged. And I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently there was some deterioration. And he saw a different chest specialist who said, why don't you try healing? Which is not exactly what you expect to hear from a conventional specialist. Anyway, he did. He found a healing group, a spiritual healing group, who actually practiced the laying on of hands with prayer. And he worked with that group, and his lung cleared up. And he wanted them to give something back. And I don't exactly know how, but he obviously had the intuition. He had some sort of illumination as to the idea of working away from the form, away from the body, with the energy body. And he could sense in some way. Whether he could see, I do not know. I've heard different stories because I've never met him. But in some way, he could sense the effect from the healing practitioner to the patient or the client without them touching. And he began to sense the interplay of energies. He apparently studied the philosophy of the kahunas, spiritual group from Hawaii. And he taught his group to work in this other way. And as often happens in groups, when a new way was introduced, the group split. The people who wanted to stay doing things the old way, and the people who were very interested in this new approach. And they stayed with him and learnt. And one of that group was a woman called Brenda Johnson. And he had said to her, you need to learn to meditate properly. And in order to do that, she had joined the Arcane School, which is a school for spiritual studies and meditation based in London and also in Geneva and New York. And by joining that group, not only was she taught how to meditate, but she also began to study the spiritual philosophy of Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey had written many books. And Alice Bailey had originally been a theosophist. And then she began to write books from a wider, slightly more modern approach to theosophy. And she, one of her books was called Esoteric Healing. And Brenda Johnson studied meditation, and she studied Alice Bailey's books. And she began to realize that what she was learning from Rex Ryant was in fact esoteric healing. The word esoteric meaning to look deeper within. And this book was all about how you could work with the energy body and about the psychological effects of mind on this energy body and then on the physical body. So she learnt from this man, Rex Ryan. And there was a man in the 60s and 70s called Douglas Baker, who was a student of the ancient wisdom and spiritual philosophy and an esoteric astrologer. And he also used the flower remedies. And he set up a series of spiritual festivals, and they probably had begun in the 60s. I'm not sure exactly of the date of the first festival. And he had a group of speakers, and he would take them around talking about spiritual subjects. People like Swami Rama, for example, I know was one of his speakers. And he went to Dallas and to Toronto and to London and also to Cape Town in South Africa, amongst other places. And he found out about Rex Ryan's group, and he had met Brenda. And he said, oh, could one of your group come talk at one of my festivals about the type of healing you're doing? And Rex Ryan declined. He was a very private man. And so Brenda was asked by Douglas Baker, and she agreed to do so. So she started to talk about the type of healing work that they did. And she said the next thing she knew, the people at these festivals were saying, well, where's the workshop? And Rex did not want to teach this, nor the other people in the group. So she decided to put together the practical work she had learnt from Rex Ryant with the theoretical work that she had learnt from Alice Bailey and through the Arcane School, and begun to set up a course. And I think her first course was in the early 70s, probably 1972 or 3. And her work grew from there.
Wow, and then that became esoteric healing. I love that this doctor in the 60s absolutely was in his own way a revolutionary, right? To tell this, to tell Rex to seek out some spiritual healing, to sort of to help with his lungs. I love that there was that gesture, and it seems to be befitting of that time, and it led to this wonderful discovery and integration. In a sense, it's East meets West, which was really trending at that time. So, Dinah, we're going to go to a break, and when we get back, I want to talk a bit about that, this fact that this Alice Bailey, that this work comes from the East. We'll be right back with more Spirit Fire Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Discover the 8 things the elements of prosperity want you to know. Lynn Brown is hosting a life-transforming, soul-expanding evening on April 30th featuring guest speaker and radio host Dr. Pat Basile. Lynn was guided to make this a by-donation event for entrance, and all proceeds will be donated towards uplifting the homeless community. For more information and to get tickets, visit eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com and type Lynn Brown in the search.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are joined this week with Dinah Lawson. And just before the break, she was telling us about really this discovery. We're talking a lot about mind and illumined potential of mind, opening up the mind to newness, to creativity, to intuition, to inspiration. And we were just talking about really the discovery in the West of a form of healing called esoteric healing. And you've heard us talk about it quite a bit on the show. I just so happen to be very passionate about esoteric healing. And it's mostly because meditation is so important. It's such an important aspect of esoteric healing. And as Dinah was telling this story, we were hearing quite a bit about this link that Brenda Johnson, who really was one of the founders of this work and really put together the curriculum and the practical studies of it. She was a meditator and a studier. She was studying this work and piecing this together. Dinah, we were talking earlier also about the 60s and sort of a revolutionary time, a time of freedom. And really, you know, you are in England, and that was really, I think of the Beatles, All We Need Is Love, talk about Aquarian, you know, group. It's all about, you know, universal love, universal heart, universal mind. This was such a big theme in the 60s, and so many of them were studying Buddhism, right? I mean, there were ashrams. It was really a time of the East really putting its roots down in the West. And we found it in popular culture, and it's really, you know, made its way, I find, to mainstream. You know, we're all here, we're all running meditation centers here, and they all have their roots. You know, they all meditation really traces in some regard back to Buddhism, to the Hindu scriptures. And so if you could tell us a little bit about esoteric healing, I know it's got strong roots in Buddhism as well.
Yes, because Alice Bailey wrote her books on spiritual philosophy with the assistance of a Tibetan Buddhist teacher called Dwar Khu. And she started to write these books, I think back in the 40s, or maybe even the 30s. And she wrote a series of books with his assistance. And when she'd finished, what they had decided between them was the last book. She put down her pen and she died. But she left this legacy of her books, known as the Blue Books, because they've all got blue covers. And she founded the Arcane School, which is, as I said, based in London and in New York and in Geneva. And their main aim is to teach people meditation and also to teach spiritual philosophy with this very strong Buddhist background, but there's also a strong Christian impulse too. It's the only writing I've come across which brings in together the teachings of Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Buddha. And in the books, the idea is given that the Buddha and the Christ were brothers. And that really, really appealed to me. And when I came across the first book, before I'd met Brenda, I came across one of the books which stated this, and I was absolutely blown away by it. But I didn't study the books in any depth. To be quite honest, I couldn't really understand them. And then when I met Brenda way back in 1979, I beg pardon. the time slips sometimes. When I met her and then began to study with her, then suddenly the practical work and the theoretical of spiritual philosophy came together. Before I'd met Brenda, I had actually been with a group that were doing the laying on of hands with prayer for healing. And I had realized before I actually came to the body that I could feel something, and I tried to find out what it was. And the only books that talked about this something that was outside the body were yoga books. And they talked about the vital body. And I had belonged to a group called the National Federation of Spiritual Healers, which was a non-denominational group of healers set up in England. But that too had spread beyond English borders. And I know there was quite a strong group in Germany at that time too. And I started to realize that actually you could affect somebody's healing without touching them. And when I went to a conference put on by this bigger group, one of the speakers was Brenda. And that was, in fact, it was the beginning of 1980. And I was absolutely delighted when I heard her speak about the energy body. This is it. This is what I want to know. And I went to speak to her afterwards, and then I went and studied with her because it turned out that she only lived 3 miles away from me. So it was very easy to go and spend time with her in between caring for my children and working. I was running my own accounting and bookkeeping business.
Dinah, if I could ask, I'm just curious, you know, you say that when you first picked up the book, this Alice Bailey book, that it just made no sense to you. And I must say that I and many of my students have a similar reaction to those. Was Brenda Johnson at the time, was she reading these books? To the listeners, just to let you know, Dinah had just said that these books were a translation. I mean, these books were written.
No, she received them in English.
I should say a transmission.
That's a different
together word. This is from Tibet. I mean, this is ageless wisdom. This is really a sort of an Eastern, I would say, it's ageless, but at the time it was an Eastern thought moving west. And there's the language in these books is quite unique. And I just wondered if that time when you were studying with Brenda, was a lot of that studying with the books themselves directly?
Yes. But she did them. She taught them in small chunks. Alice Bailey was very, very definite that she was not a medium, and that she received this information by what she and Dwar Kool called spiritual telepathy, which you could call a form of illumination, a form of intuition, whatever you like. But she was definitely conscious and in control when she wrote this. In some of the work she struggled with because she wanted to get it just right. But I don't know, I suppose because Brenda taught us the healing work, it somehow opened the mind in some way and made it easier to receive the information in the books. But it's one of those things, it's very rich fare. And we needed to study it in very small chunks and read very slowly and then go back to it and then read a bit more and then go back to it. But for me, the truth, the information in those books is just, well, it opened my mind and made me more receptive. And I went on from working with Brenda also to study the psychology of an Italian psychiatrist called Roberto Fagioli. And he developed a form of spiritual psychosynthesis, let's call it, of spiritual psychology called psychosynthesis. And he too was a student of Alice Bailey. In fact, he's referred to in some of her books when she talked to individual followers, disciples, students, and he is referred to there as well. And it was bringing those things together, the actual practical work, the psychological insight from Assagioli, and Alice Bailey's writings and philosophies, that suddenly everything sort of fell into place for me.
I must agree. In a sense, you feel as you read these books that you are simply in the presence of truth, and nothing enlightens the mind or creates alignment, I would even say, than being in the presence of truth. We somehow find a way to align, to our own truth. And these books, I must say, I had a similar experience. You know, the first time I held this book, I could sense it. I could feel it. I opened the book and started reading it and thought, I don't know exactly what I'm reading, but I sense I sense the wisdom behind every word and the energy behind every word, which was really, very, very, It was really a goal of Alice Bailey to get exactly the right word, as you say, and the energy behind each word. So, Dinah, we are about at the time for another break. And when we get back, I want to just talk again just a little bit about this idea of truth and this idea of study and really the inner search for truth and the ability to sense one when one is in alignment and in one's own truth. More on that when we get back with Spirit Fire Radio.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio, where this week we're speaking with Dinah Lawson about the step mind, the practice of living awareness.
Yes, mind. It's a pretty interesting, big subject. Before we went to the break, Dinah was talking a little bit about Dwa Kul. He is a Tibetan who, with Alice Bailey, wrote these books, a series of books, otherwise known as the Blue Books. And one of those is Esoteric Healing. There's 20, help me out.
28 books, but I should have looked this up.
Yes.
I've forgotten exactly. Well, and then she wrote three or four books on her own as well.
Yes, it is a series, amazing series of books. And when you stand in the presence of these books, you really feel like you are standing in the presence of truth. Many people have said that really this is some of the most sacred teachings of Buddhism, of ageless wisdom, really the roots of so many philosophies, spiritual philosophies can all be traced back to these roots and under this umbrella called ageless wisdom. We've been talking a lot about Buddhism, and I would love to read a quote. I've been reading a book called Rebel Buddha, which I just think is an amazing book. It's a very modern book about the sort of integration in the ways that we can become a rebel Buddha ourselves. And it's by an author called Panlab Dzogchen. And here's a quote from that book. It says, "Although Buddhism can be practiced religiously in many respects, it isn't a religion. Because of its emphasis on questioning and working with the mind, it is spiritual in nature. But because it relies on logical analysis and reasoning, as well as on meditation, many Buddhist teachers regard Buddhism as a science of the mind rather than a religion. In each meditation session, we gather knowledge about the mind through observation, questioning, and testing. We do this over and over until we gradually develop a meaningful understanding of our own mind. Some people may even become weary of Buddhism because it gives them so much work to do. They have to ask all the questions and find all their own answers." So I find that quote to be just remarkable in so many ways. And I find it so related not only to esoteric healing, but to the process we all really in our day to day, we have to take responsibility. We have to find the answers for ourselves. And I find Dinah, in hearing the story about the formation of the International Network of Energy Healing and dating the whole way back to the 60s to a radar scientist who went on to basically sense energy and really had to search within himself, meditation, study, finding the right people, searching for the answers until ultimately he sort of found his own truth within that. And, you know, I hear within the story of Brenda Johnson putting together the practicals, and I know you and your experience of watching Esoteric Healing group, the group and organization form, that really so much of it is equal parts meditation, but it's equal parts observing, questioning, testing, studying. There is so much an aspect of that sort of rooting it all out to find the truth that I'd sort of love to hear your take on that. And I bring it up because also we know within energy healing that really the healer themselves, they are not the healer. It's not the practitioner. It is the client. We are responsible for bringing healing into our own body, for creating an environment that can allow a natural state of well-being within ourselves. And so even as we are working with clients and we as the healing provider or practitioner, we're sort of asking that of them. We're asking them to do a lot of work, to ask questions, find out what is my own truth. So that was a lot of talking, but does all that sort of ring true to you?
Yes, it does. And I have a problem with the word healer. I never describe myself as such. I am a healing practitioner because one of the things I understand is there's no such person as a healer in the human form. The true healer of each individual is their own soul. And our job is to look for what is blocking the flow of their life energy or their soul energy. And by balancing the energy field, we help to ease the flow of their own life energy. And that's what does the healing. The true healer of the form is the soul of an individual. And yes, they have to do some work. A lot of people would like to hand to you the responsibility. You heal me. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change anything. I can just go on the way I am. But it doesn't work that way. There may be an initial response, and people think they're going to get better, and they come and say, oh, you're the greatest healer I've ever met. And you say, no, hang on. And the effect doesn't last unless they respond from within. And once they do, then they begin to change and things alter. So, yes, it's very interesting to watch the whole process. But the moment we start to think that we did it, I am the healer, then I think we get into trouble. It's very important. So that's one of the things that I start my new students off with when they come in for the healing courses. I'm not going to make you into a healer. And if you think you are, then I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you. And most people accept that. But occasionally people just go away. They don't like that idea. They want to be a healer.
And so I find...
Sorry.
Go on.
Well, you mentioning the idea of study, Bailey taught very clearly that we have a three-legged stool on which we sit. Meditation, study, and the third one is service. Because it's no use bringing all that energy in if we don't do something with it. And Fagioli himself, he's one of his little books, which doesn't have his name on, actually, The Science and Service of Blessing. And he says, you know, we bring in so much energy for meditation, but we must use it. One, if we don't, we'll get congested. And two, it's the service we can offer. We should just radiate it out as blessing. We don't have to say anything. But energy follows thought, which is the basic precept of our work. And it is the same in meditation. So we can radiate out the peace and the love and the stillness. Your idea, your word you used of peaceful abiding, I love that phrase. I hadn't heard it as such. But if we can find and create peace within ourselves by radiating that out, that is a very useful service.
Indeed.
And you asked me about the energy, the healing center, the meditation center, and that's something which 19 years of meditation was built into the fabric of that building, which was an old farm building, which was on the edge of the town. It's now bang in the middle of the town. And the peace that has been built up in there, people just walk in through the door and go, oh, and it has an effect immediately.
We experience that here as well. And I love that you're on a farm. Spirit Fire was a farm as well. And
Is it still in a farm area?
Yes, it's in rural Massachusetts, on the foothills of the Green Mountains, and lots of farms around here. This was a dairy farm for many years. And so beautiful, beautiful energy here. And that is quite the service, as you say, to really create, not only to radiate out personally, but to create a space in which other people can really just What's the word? You know, they
breathe.
Yeah, they can breathe, but just feel that energy. You know, really be surrounded. Be just allow that to integrate into their time for as long as they're here, is really quite a service. I find that you know, when you say peaceful abiding and that you appreciated that word, and I love that you said to just really emanate out, that I sense the real service in meditation is to bring that energy in. And then so many people hear service and they think, oh, helping someone across the street or donating their time, which is all a wonderful service. And I say everybody spend as much time as you can during your week helping others. But there is something to really radiating well-being. And I find to even be able to have a gentleness about yourself, to have a kindness not only towards yourself but towards others. If you can find that within yourself for the day, you are being of service. You are being of service in every regard. And meditation is as we both can sit and say, yes, we're behind it, that it provides that observation. You know, it provides alignment. It provides a way for us to be comfortable within ourselves and then to observe not only ourselves but the responses of others, the ways in which we emanate energy and it affects people around us, and, you know, just to our general sense of being, you know, who are we and what are we actually providing to those around us, and not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, energetically. It's all wonderful.
So you can give it to your family, put it in your home, put it in your workplace, radiate it in effect, all with whom you come into contact.
Indeed. We're going to go to another break and our last segment when we get back, more with Dinah Lawson.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you and your family looking for one manageable lifestyle change that will positively impact your health? Look no further. That change begins inside your drinking glass. Learn how to put a lid on junk drinking by sipping from a recipe collection of colorful, fresh, tasty, wholesome fruit and vegetable blends. Get your copy now of Sip the Garden, Fun, Easy Drinks for a Healthier Family by T. Carrie Mitchell. Visit lifestyle120.com for information on how to order.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the Maca Team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Today we are talking with Dinah Lawson. We've been having so much fun talking about esoteric healing. We've been talking about meditation. Tim and I were on a meditation center called Spirit Fire in the foothills of the Green Mountains in Massachusetts. And Dinah Lawson runs a meditation center in England. Dinah, tell us where exactly your center is. It's called the Hayloft.
Yes, because it was a hayloft. It was part of a farm. And it's in a small town on the south coast of England, and is a harbour. It used to be a fishing port, but now it's just people just have boats there for pleasure, leisure, little sailing boats mostly. And people seem to spend rather more time actually scrubbing up their boats than they actually go sailing, but never mind. And it's a nice little town, and it has everything you could want in the town, and a good bus and train service. And it's busy, but it's not too noisy. And we don't have any airplanes zooming overhead or anything like that. And I was actually, I've been teaching both meditation and the energy healing for quite a few years. And sometimes the places you hired as a room were not particularly pleasant. And somebody gave me some money for my work, and I thought that the thing that would help the work the most would be a building, and she gave me enough money to buy a small building. And I went to see the what you call a realtor, and we call an estate agent, one morning. I just felt inspired again to speak to him this morning, and he said, well, what sort of building do you want? And I said, oh, something like the Hayloft around the corner, but I know that's occupied. And he looked at me. And he said, this morning I met the managing director of the company who was in that building. And he said, we've outgrown the building. We need to move. And he said, I knew that the owner of the building wanted to sell it. So I bought it.
Wow. And
yes, it was rather nice. I liked that. So I use it for teaching the energy work, and I use it for teaching meditation. And in order to cover the overheads, I rent it to people who teach yoga and Pilates and Tai Chi, all the things that are connected with healing. And it's called a center for healing and meditation. But my main passion is to teach meditation. And if you can meditate, or if you do meditate, then that also helps in your own healing process and keeping you healthy. And I just love teaching meditation. And I love to see the light go on in people's minds. And I follow actually some of the ideas suggested by Roberto Saggioli, his approach to meditation, which is in stages. And I usually teach an introductory course for 7 weeks, one evening a week. And I'm just about to start doing one, a daytime one too, because there's some people who can't come to an evening class. So I'm in June, I think I'm starting a daytime class for 7 weeks. And then occasionally I do a deepening course, and where we go a little bit more deeply into it. We also have a drop-in meditation every Friday evening. We call End the Week. It's just half an hour. We just relax and center and take a seed thought and then sit with it for 20 minutes. And then at the end of the meditation, we radiate out the energy we have created and offer it to the community. And, well, it seems to work fine. We have usually 8 or 10 people. Occasionally we've had 18 or 19. But the standard group is 8 or 10 people. And people can come with no commitment. So they can just come as and when. And it seems to work very well. And it gives me the most enormous pleasure. It's a free group, Fridays, but I do make a charge for the courses. But again, if somebody has no money, then we can set it aside. There has to be an exchange, I think, whatever it is. But it doesn't have to be very much.
I love, Dinah, hearing you say that you said, just the building around the corner. I'd love a building like that. We hear time and time again on this show, we're talking to people, and there seem to be these situations where there's just divine intervention, or there's just, it is meant to be, and so it is. And I love to hear that. It inspires me. It's great to hear stories like that that put a smile on your face. But I want to ask, Dinah, you know, I've been wanting to ask this the whole show, which is, we started talking about the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the ways that the new age is no longer so much novel and a boutique idea, that it's really coming into its own. I'm curious what changes you've seen. You know, you've been teaching meditation now for 2 decades. I'm curious what you see in terms of age groups and sort of who's attracted to meditation. Are these new people coming in each time, or just sort of what you see? Is it evolving? Do you see what's your take on that, on ways you've seen it change over the years?
Well, I've been teaching it actually for over 30 years.
Wow.
And one of the things I noticed when we teach the energy healing, because if you're involved in any sort of healing, I think you must be able to, you must have the practice of meditation behind your work. But when I first started teaching, maybe out of a group of people coming in to learn healing, only one or two had previously meditated. Now, if a group of people come in for a course, only one or two have not meditated in the past. And it seems to be generally accepted. It's as one of my friends said recently, it's in danger of becoming respectable. you're not considered wacky if you meditate. People are interested, but you can see some people say, well, yes, but it's not for me. So I usually say, well, actually, it's for everybody, but... when they're ready. There are occasionally, we get some resistance from one of the local churches who doesn't approve of meditation, but likewise they don't approve of yoga. But I could tell you some stories about that, which I won't. There is a definite shift in attitude. And when the New Age first came in, it was considered by many people to be really rather wacky. But now I think the wacky side has gone.
And actually, I find that the wacky side are those who really don't want to add awareness to their lives, or don't want to be conscious. I mean, isn't that a lovely shift? At least, yes. At least perhaps, yes. In our circles.
Yes, as it is interesting. And it's lovely because when you get a group of people come together to meditate, one of the things that we do in the Hayloft is we always have a peace meditation on New Year's Eve at midday. And about 40 people roll into that, and everybody brings something. And when we have a shared lunch together, and the energy that builds up, and people, there are some people whom I only see once a year. They just occur. They just turn up for the peace meditation. And then we usually also celebrate the winter solstice, as it's just before Christmas. And people just roll into that as well and bring a shared supper, and we do circle dance and we meditate together and we talk. But it seems to me when you get a group of meditators together, the ice is broken. Even if you've not met them before, you can begin to talk with them almost straight away and they with you. It does open minds, and people are open to each other in a different way. There's none of this social nonsense of where did you go to school or what is your job, or it's you leap in straight away in a completely different way,
human way, I would say.
Yeah, and come into being together.
Yes, and it, essentially that's why we do it, huh? I mean, it is really about the human connection, and a greater connection that we can feel from our hearts and our minds, and peace, as you say, emanating peace. Dinah, we're at the end of the show.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to spend some time with you. And I'm sorry that I'm not actually in your area right now, but I have been there.
Well, it sounds like we're generating the same energy from our farm, meditation practices, and emanating this beautiful energy as best we can. So, Dinah, I'm so appreciative of all you do. It is a great service, and just a treat to be talking to you today. I thank you so much. It's been great. And
I send joy to you and to all the listeners as well.
And if there's one thing we can take away, Dinah, you said it so well, meditation is the best healing we can find for ourselves. And yeah. I would agree. So everybody out there, Spirit Fire Radio, look to our meditations and look to the Hayloft. Do a Google search. Dinah Lawson at the Hayloft. Dinah, thank you so much. It's been a treat.
Blessings.
Bye-bye. We'll see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.